In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins, and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today is the Sunday before the feast of Christ the King. It's a custom, many Catholics, that they, out of devotion, they make a consecration to Christ the King. We should prepare it this week, but not just as a ritual thing, but as an inner desire of getting closer to Christ. In the feast of Christ the King, we acclaim him. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed be the kingdom that comes. You know that in the gospel, repeatedly, especially Saint Matthew, speaks of the kingdom of heaven. You know, the Jews did not like to say the kingdom of God because the name of Yahweh was secret, so instead they say the kingdom of God in the Jewish milieu, so that you don't mention the name of God. That was too sacred for people to mention just like that. Heaven is the place of God. So God tells us repeated time that it's coming, the kingdom of heaven, where God comes. Then, apart from the kingdom of God, we find the kingdom of Christ. We are told to him has been transferred the kingdom. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. You remember the good thief telling him. It's called the kingdom of Christ, because it's in Christ that that kingdom receives the fullness. Sometimes we have things clearer if we think of what the kingdom of God is not. Kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, Christ the King, means the lordship of God, means the will and the sanctity of God, not just a political institution, a juridical setup, a human kind of thing of kingdom. That's what it's not. And the Lord left it clear. That's why he did not call himself even the Son of God, because in the Old Testament there were Abraham, a son of God, and Isaac, a son of God. You could be confused. So he called himself some expression that nobody else used except Daniel, I think, is the Son of Man that comes from heaven, you see, the kingdom of heaven, in full control of the situation as a king. This is our king. This is Christ. But what is this kingdom? So, a kingdom, we can think of it first in a passive way. The kingdom of God should come to me. And then in an active way, what I should do for that kingdom. In the passive way is acceptation, accepting the kingdom of God, doing my best so that the will of God is my will. Am I fighting? Yes, I'm sure. We are trying to do our best. But sometimes we are like obfuscate. And we don't identify this is the will of God. So we have to have our eyes open, our hearts open, to realize where is the will of God. I should do it. This is accepting the kingdom of God. This is when Christ the King becomes your King. And who is the King? The King is Christ, first of all. Why? Because no one like Him has accepted the will of God, right? Until death on the cross. Not my will, but your will be done. Father, it is accomplished. We see? You see the sample. An example to follow. We have a Christian is a person always that goes stepping on the footprints of Christ. Am I ready to be another Christ? Am I willing to be Christ passing by? Oh, careful what you think. Because if you want to be Christ passing by, you have to be ready, like Him, to accept fully the will of God. And also, even to die on the cross. We will not be crucified, most likely, but just the same. Jesus, the will of God. So Jesus is the perfect adequation, the perfect fitting of the will of God. Not even in a small thing, He said later on, never. You want it, my Father, I do it. In His crucifixion, in His resurrection. In remaining with us here in the tabernacle, He is fulfilling the will of His Father. He is not leaving us abandoned. He is our King because He fully accepts the will of God. We give You thanks, Lord, Almighty God, because You are and You were, because You have manifested Your power and because You have restored Your kingdom. I was reading this morning the Liturgy of the Hours, and there was a psalm that hit me. He's talking about, actually it's not a psalm, it's from the prophet Joel. It says, some will seek refuge in Jerusalem. These are the survivors. Who are the survivors? It's Christ, it's the church, it's His kingdom. There is no other way of surviving. Outside Christ, there is no salvation. Nobody can give salvation but God. And God gives His salvation through Christ, the second person, the Blessed Trinity. In Christ gives His salvation through His body, through His church. It's the kingdom of His church. And the church gives salvation through the means instituted by God, the sacrament, the prayer, the hierarchy. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church. And that's what we have to embrace. And Joel continues saying, and the threshing fields will be full of grain. You know, threshing field, that the place where the wheat is threshed, is crushed to extract the grain. It will overflowing with grain. And the vats would be overflowing with oil and wine. Means abundance. Abundance of grace. Lord, come to us. Give us this abundance of grain, of fruit. Abundance of oil, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Abundance of wine, which is the wine of joy. Because a Christian had to be a person full of joy, like the apostle. That they were told, you look like if you have drunk too much wine. Yes, the wine of the Holy Spirit, that joy. So we continue meditating on that kingdom, tracing the indication that God gives us in the scripture. We are told, first of all, that the kingdom is close at hand. In fact, that he is among us. A kingdom among us. Where is it? The Lord is with us. We were seeing that Christ is with us. The kingdom is God. The church, pilgrim church, yes. Imperfect church, yes, because we are imperfect. And everybody is imperfect. And no one can think of himself to be perfect. The kingdom of Christ, but in an imperfect manner. Why? Because we are pilgrims. What happened with wise? They give you to turn left, turn right. And what happened when you arrive? You have arrived in your destination. You have not heard that yet in your life. We are still following indication. The difference is that it's not wise, but it's the Holy Spirit through the ordinary channels. The person that should guide us, that kind of wise, supernatural wise, ways, sorry. You know how some Jews they thought that the king's kingdom was full of power, and when will you rebuild the kingdom and will throw the Romans away? And Jesus answered, "You have the force of the Holy Spirit, who will be poured on you, and you will be my witnesses." Ah, what is this? The Lord seems to have an answer in a different way. So, where is the kingdom? He says, the force of the Holy Spirit. What is the force of His grace? Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. I want to be a threshing field full of grain. I want to be a vat overflowing with oil, the oil of peace. The force of the Holy Spirit who will be poured on you. It's a promise of the Lord. And then our duty, and you will be my witness. So you are a witness. You must be a witness. A witness of Jesus, not with your words, but with the testimony of your life, being the kind of person God wants you to be through and through. Lord, help me to be the kind of person you want me to do, to be faithful to my vocation as a Christian. Second, apart from the kingdom of God is among you, and we see it in an imperfect way as pilgrims, the kingdom has to come. Huh? So it's not the kingdom that, well, it's here, that's it. No, has to come. It's not a contradiction. Has to come. In a moral sense, because we have to be more incorporated into His kingdom. He has to be my King more and more every day. Today, not tomorrow. Today, you and I have to tell our Lord here, present in the tabernacle, "Lord, I want to be faithful today." I don't know if tomorrow I will be alive, but to begin with, today I want to, and tomorrow I will tell you again, I want to be faithful. So you have this program one day ahead of you. And this is the day you have to be faithful to God, to seek the kingdom that has to come. Open your door so that one day the Lord can tell you, "Come, blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world." Fact that you are here is not a coincidence. It was in the plans of God. Your entire life was programmed with Him. Nothing happened just like that. Thank you, Lord. But also, the third point is very demanding. It says, seek the kingdom of God. Okay? So the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is to come because it will be consummated in heaven. And then the third point is an obligation. We see the kingdom mentioned as an obligation of each one of us to seek the kingdom every day. The three of them had to be together. The three of them had to be your field of work. Seek the kingdom. Each one of us has to be a seeker, a person who seeks continuously. Am I invoking the Lord? Lord, come. Come, Holy Spirit, illumine my mind today to see what you are expecting from me, to see what I have to take away from my life because it's an obstacle, it's basura. Today, today and every day, seeking, seeking, seeking. As Saint Jose Maria used to say, Lord, I will seek your countenance. I want to see your face. I want to look into your eyes. This is the way that we have to be united to Christ, seeking him, looking forward to possessing him more and more, and that he takes possession of you. Where is the kingdom? Where is the field I should put Christ on? We continue reading. St. Paul says, the creation itself is waiting impatiently the revelation of the children of God, and is fed with the hope of being liberated of the slavery of corruption. So the world, so the first field we have to be witnesses of Christ is in the world. The first field that the kingdom of God has to be implanted by us is in the world. The entire world has to become the kingdom of God. It will never happen in this season, no? But we look forward to it. So you see, the kingdom, the world is not bad, pala, but has to be redeemed. And who is going to redeem? Our neighbor? No, you and I will live as what we are, that is citizens of this world. We cannot abandon the world. It's what we live our life. But we cannot be neutral to the world. Okay? We have to be positive, inclined to Jesus Christ, to bring the truth to the world. The truth is not neutral. Error that does not attract the world has to become. Not by becoming ourselves worldly, that is, obeying the dictates of the devil. No, that's not the end. But on the contrary, showing the truth, without violence, of course. We have to be operators of the kingdom. We have to be employees of that kingdom. Am I aware that everybody in this world is waiting for me? Doing strange things? Wearing odd things? No. Just being the person you have to be. But carrying in your face that smile of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, in your action, carrying that inclination towards Christ. The second field is the church. We have to install the kingdom of God in the church. The church has to improve. So it's not a heresy to distinguish between the church and the kingdom of God. Because the church itself has to be purified, has to walk. As such, it has no stain. But we have stains. That's why we, people of the church, have to become what God expects of us. A kingdom of priests. We'll read today in the first Sunday preface. We are a kingdom of a priestly kingdom. Why? Because you and I have been baptized. And the baptism, the Holy Spirit has made us priests of Jesus Christ with the baptismal priesthood. What is a priest? A mediator between God and men. As simple as that. That's what St. Paul says. If somebody doesn't like it, well, blame St. Paul. I'm just quoting St. Paul. Okay? Mediator in what sense? That we have to bring the world, the church also, closer to God. We are priests. How? Administer the sacrament? No, that's the ministerial priesthood. Then how? Living the sacraments. Bringing people to the sacraments. Okay? Priestly area. Second, giving doctrine. Giving doctrine. Showing the faith. If they don't hear the faith, how are they going to learn the faith? Somebody had to tell them. Ruling, that is organizing whatever sphere you are working in according to Christian tenets, that for instance there is decency, that there is no people is forced to have an abortion, not facilitating sin. So we have to be rulers of Christ. We have to be priests of Christ. We have to be teachers of Jesus Christ. They had the three dimension of the munus, of the office of Christ. And we have received that munus as lay people in baptism. So nobody can take it from you until you die. You may put it into effect or forget about it. So what is the difference between the church and the world? Both belong to Christ. But the church knows it, that she belongs to Christ, that she is the bride, and Christ is the groom. The world doesn't know that it belongs to Christ. But in both fields, we have to bring them closer to Christ, little by little, being what we are. And what about the third field? This is what belongs to us more intimately. That's the personal field. We have to open the door to Christ, into our existence. So the kingdom of Christ is not just something outside you. No, it is, but not only. The kingdom of Christ in me. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God in my life? Negatively speaking, it means to reject sin. How can I install the kingdom of Christ in me? Getting away from sin. Being in the grace of God, if ever happened that we committed sin. Loving the life of grace. Kingdom of God is not in sin. Epistle to the Romans, very clearly. So this is the personal sphere, the church, the world, and the personal sphere is the one that we have to work harder. The kingdom of God begins in us where the kingdom of sin ends. So that's why we have to put an end to that kingdom of sin, of the devil, and become a new creature, constantly fighting against the old man we all carry within ourselves. When? From time to time? No, constantly. We are engaged in a fight, in a struggle to install the kingdom of Christ in me, in myself, in my heart, in my life, in everything I do. And this is urgent. We all have to be engaged actively. We have to be David fighting against Goliath constantly, even though we are smaller, even though the devil seems to be very powerful, especially in the moment of temptation. He did not engage face to face, close hand, actually. David stood away, and he managed his tirador, his slingshot. Meaning, we cannot get closer to the temptation to the last moment. The moment when we see that the Goliath is there, because he's very big, you see him, and very ugly. So use your slingshot. Reject that temptation. Be another David. And we all carry these two laws within ourselves. We always will carry that David, that Goliath. But the fight cannot end, because we have not been born for slavery. We are children of God. What does it mean, the installation of, to grow in love? We have passed from death to life. So therefore, we have to maintain in us that life of Christ in us. Jesus, my King, remain in me, Manen obiscum. Don't go away. Stay with me. The day is almost spent. Jesus Christ. So you see that it's in your hand, my friend. It's in your hand to accelerate or to delay the installation of the kingdom of God. How? When you accept him in your heart. When you seek the kingdom of God as we have seen in us. Then we are accelerating the whole cosmic, more than cosmic, universal kingdom of God. You are collaborating in it. But it's myself only. Yes, but it's the person closest to you. Who is the person closest? You. So you have to begin there. Otherwise, everything else is postizo. Until when? Is there an alarm that signals when it's finished, as we were an oven, when it's already done? Yes. Until we become absolutely submitted to Christ, obedient to Christ, when Christ is in you. Let's fight. Let's not delay the kingdom of Christ. Sometimes we do not realize, but in fact, we think, well, it's myself. I'm not hurting anyone. Yes, you are. Each one of us, when we commit sin, when we give into temptation, we are delaying, actually, literally, delaying the installation of the kingdom of God, of Christ. That's why, after sin, there is a sadness, because we are taken by evil, by iniquity, because we realize that we are the cause of that delay. Lord, stay with us. I will fight. Stay in my heart. Help me to be always looking to you, to your face. The early Christian said an aspiration which has reached us in the liturgy, Maranatha. It's not Greek, it's Aramaic. It means it was used in the time of our, probably he used it. It means the Lord is here. Maranatha. Mar means the Lord. That's why Mario name means Lord. Maranatha. The Lord is here. He's here in the tabernacle. He's here knocking at your door in your heart. Is here. But also, with the same sound, we can say, and the Christians say, Maranatha, in Aramaic. Maranatha means, come, Jesus, come, Lord. So the Lord is here, and also like a desire, like an invocation. Let's use this invocation to prepare ourselves for the kingdom of God. Come, Lord, come with your grace. And change the world. The Holy Spirit will change the face of the world. Come, come. That's our joy. We have to remember, therefore, that the king, the throne of this king is the cross, that his crown is made not of gold, but of thorns, means temperance, to install the king, sobriety, mortification, to install the kingdom of God. Even the smallest thing that you do has to be transformed into a hosanna, hosanna. Hosanna is a Hebrew expression. Hosanna means, please save me, Lord. But later on, became a praise to God. But originally, literally means, save me, Lord. Equivalent to Kyrie, eleison. Lord, have mercy on me, save me. We cannot install this kingdom of God without his help. Mortification for the kingdom and penance, so that Christ might live in us through love, every day, each one of us, more in love, like Our Lady did, growing in love all the days of her life.